We are back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, and we're talking with Kansas State University President Richard Myers. Lots going on here as we start the new school year on Monday. Students, of course, are already back here in Manhattan, and we've been seeing them moving into campus. One thing that I know not just K-State, a lot of universities have struggled with has been enrollment here, and I know we won't know the official numbers probably till later on, maybe next month or month after that. But what are you anticipating enrollment to look like this fall, given all that's been presented these past 18 months?
Well, let me talk about what we put in place 3 years ago, and that was when we realized two big factors impacted our enrollment: decrease in international students by over 1,000 for various reasons. All universities experienced that. And then there's been a decrease over the last 7, 8, 9 years in the college-going rate of graduating Kansas high school seniors. Not totally sure why that is. Some of that could be financial. Some of it could be a robust job market. But those two things really hurt us because we're primarily an in-state recruiter. And we brought a national consulting firm in and looked at the landscape. And so we're going to try to increase our out-of-state student population. Right now, we're roughly 80% in-state, 20% out-of-state. We'd like it to make it 78-22, something like that. Not huge increases, but there's a good market out there in states as far away as California, Minnesota, certainly Texas are contiguous states. And we've adjusted tuitions for the contiguous states where now Missourians, for instance, pay in-state tuition to come to Kansas State because we're a great value. We've got great curriculum, great academic quality and credentials, so we feel we can attract out-of-state students. And the good news is you have three buckets you look at. You look at how many folks apply, you look at how many are admitted, and then you look at how many enroll. Those are the three buckets: admits, apply, admits, and enrollment. Our apply and admits are the highest ever in the school's history. This year, the yield, the number of those that are admitted that actually enroll, I think has been impacted by COVID in this way. One of the ways students decide to come to K-State is to come to campus, see the campus, meet the people. During COVID, we had limited opportunities to do that. I think it's hurt our freshman enrollment this year. Transfer students are up. Pretty good size increase in enrollment in Salina, in our Salina campus. A lot of categories are up, but freshmen are going to be down just a little bit. But we're on the right path. We knew we had to increase applications, admissions, and next year we think we'll harvest a better yield and get more students in here. I'm very confident of that, actually. So this has been a three-year project to get the organizational structure right, get the people in place that know what they're doing, to get the IT right, information technology. Students want to do all their work on the mobile device. We weren't capable of doing that 3 years ago. Now they can do most everything on their mobile device, and that's how we communicate while they're deciding and so forth. So still more to do in that area, but we're coming on fast. So hats off to our team. They've been working it really hard. I think I would say generally we'll be flat, maybe slightly down, but the trend is good. If we have the best ever application and admit rate we've ever had in our school's history, in fact, it was funny. The consultant said, this 3 years ago, said, you know, for this size university, your number of applicants is really, really low. You have a very high yield. Well, those were those Kansas students that knew us and still had a proclivity to go on to college. And some of those dynamics changed, as I mentioned earlier. Now we've got that applicant pool way up, all-time high, much higher than it's ever been. And that's really encouraging. So what we're doing across the state of Kansas, what we're doing, we're not giving up on the state of Kansas, by the way. We're actually redoubling our efforts in the state of Kansas, but across the nation is really going to help.
Well, and you mentioned it being like a three-year plan. With the impact of COVID, should we have more patience on the enrollment numbers maybe going up, maybe extended just a little longer?
Well, I think they just set us back a little bit. But like I said, two of the buckets, the applications and admits, are way up. Now we got to get the yield. To get the yield, you got to get them to Manhattan, Kansas. Think about it. If you're from out of state, and you, what do you know about Manhattan, Kansas? When they get here, the vast majority of them love it. They say, wow, this is a pretty campus. Gee, I really love the people. Gee, my professor talked to me, or the dean talked to me, or the folks in admissions and financially, they all, these are people that are trying to help me be successful at a university. When they see that, which is our trademark, when they see that, they'll sign up immediately. And they usually come with their parents, right? So that's what we got to get back to. Now we have a new, improved, awesome virtual tour for those that can't make it to campus. So we've had to improve all that piece as well. But no, this, it takes time. You can't, we didn't get here in a year.
Right.
We got here starting a long time ago, even before I got here. And we had to figure out what was wrong and then fix it. So we're still in the fix-it mode, but I'd say we're, Karen Goo is our person that works enrollment and all that, and financial aid is our guru for that. She may disagree, but I think we're probably 80% to 85% of where we need to be. She would probably say not quite, but we've really made great strides. And all that takes resources. And so we have to, COVID was a big hit in terms of resources, but all that takes resources. And fortunately, we've had a lot of philanthropy that's helped us.
Well, and we had the chamber president on here yesterday, and they were talking a lot about, you know, recruiting and retaining talent here. And it's a lot of the same struggle. I think it's really just selling Manhattan and selling the region to people from out of state that don't know about us here, and you know, the Flint Hills and all the beauty of it. And I think that's a big part of the piece.
It is. And so I spend, you know, part of our responsibility as a university is economic development. I spend, you know, fair amount of my time, and so do our people at the foundation and our innovation partners group in trying to commercialize some of our intellectual property in trying to attract businesses here, and I'm sure Jason talked about that. We had a meeting the other day with a group that is looking at several locations around the United States in which to locate a fairly substantial operation. And I think their expectations when they came to Manhattan were fairly low. They left very excited about the Manhattan community and what we had to offer. I mean, I got a handwritten note from the CEO of the company saying, wow, we didn't expect that at all. And so we are one of those places where it makes a difference for a lot of people to be here, to come here. Of course, Kansas students, students from Kansas, probably have been on campus with their parents or one time or another through our many programs. But out-of-state students have no clue. And they have to come here and they have to see the difference between what we have to offer in Manhattan, Kansas, at Kansas State University, compared to some big urban school somewhere, some overcrowded school somewhere. Just the love of our students, the effort that our faculty and staff put into each and every student. They always go the extra mile. There are millions of stories, well, at least hundreds of thousands of stories, on how faculty will help students that are struggling in various ways, as does the university. So, no, this is a great place, and it's just, we're recovering. I think if it hadn't been for COVID, we'd be going up right now in freshman class.
All right. Well, one thing that's changed here, not yet. It will happen next year.
Right.
Freshmen will be required to live on campus. How and why did that decision come about? And will on-campus living expenses be included in the tuition?
So it's, Brennan, it was one of those things we've been thinking about for a while. The evidence, the data, the research is very clear. If you're in a, we'll call it a supervised living situation your freshman year, the chances of being successful at the university go way up. And I think KU either requires it or will require it about the same time we do. Requiring them to live on campus enhances their chance of success. So for the first year, we're going to require that starting next fall. And those expenses for housing, for dining, are separate from tuition. Tuition is one piece of what it costs to go. The other part is, you know, room and board or your housing and dining. Those will be separate. And they're in our housing program, we have lots of different tiers of cost. Weefall Hall, our newest residence hall, is the most expensive. Some of our older halls are less expensive. And how you choose to live with two roommates, one roommate, by yourself. I mean, there are all sorts of options trying to meet different people's needs.
All right. Well, a lot of people have argued that college is not affordable. We've seen that in the press and everything else. What is the long-term goal the university has to address that? Because I know you have strategies in place. And can the bridge be gapped from a lack of state funding?
Well, let me just say we need the state to be a good partner. It's really important to the state of Kansas. When companies come here, the first question they ask, is there a talent pool that can support my business? And if the answer is no, they're going to go somewhere else. So we have to have a robust talent pool, and that's our universities. And we're one of the major players in that because, we're a Research One, the highest level category university, Research One doctoral conferring university. They looked to us to produce that talent. And that was a big discussion. I mentioned that firm that came to town. That was a big discussion. Can you produce, in this case, it requires scientific expertise. Can you produce folks with that expertise that can feed our business? And the answer is absolutely yes, we can do that. And so I think for out-of-state students to come here and learn to love it, like you said, the Flint Hills, that just being here in Manhattan, if we had businesses that can support them, then we're in great shape. And that's exactly where we want to go. We also are very lucky at K-State with our alumni and friends and supporters and corporations to receive a lot of philanthropy around scholarships and that sort of thing. So we are working really hard to bridge that gap. And you'll see some things come out in the news here shortly about some of the ways we're doing that. But we know for some families, affordability is a big deal. We're trying to bridge that gap as much as we can. So, I think we can do that. For the land-grant promise when the Morehouse was standing in 1962 was to provide access, broad access to a university education. And part of that is making sure there aren't obstacles like finances to get them to do it. And if you look at where the state is growing, Southwest Kansas, a lot of folks, immigrants and Hispanic folks whose children ought to have a chance to get to the middle class. The way they're going to do that is go to the university. And if they can't afford it, we got to help them somehow. And that's, we're dedicated to that.
All right. We're speaking with Kansas State University President Richard Myers. I got a question here also about furloughs. We saw a lot of furloughs over the past year and a half. Overall, where would you say the university is right now in terms of its finances, and could we see additional cuts in the near future?
So, yeah, it was a tough year and a half, and we had to make some budget decisions. I mean, we lost almost $100 million in revenue, so that caused us to have to furlough and other things we took budget-wise that really hurt some people and their families. But we had to do that to stay financially viable. That all went away, basically, at the first of this fiscal year on July 1st. And right now, looking in our crystal ball for this fiscal year we're in, we think we're in a pretty good budget position. Because of what we did the last year and a half, we think we're well positioned. This is the first year in many that we didn't have to allocate budget cuts to all the colleges and the administrative units, because we've been very careful how we went through the last year and a half. So we feel really confident that this year we're not going to see those kind of actions to going forward. Now, I guess that could change if the pandemic took a U-turn here on us or something like that, but I don't see that coming, frankly. And we are as well positioned as we've ever been budget-wise since I've been here, actually, I think. And a lot of that was being very quick to adjust our budget, our expenses, mainly through the, 92% of our expenses are people. That's where you adjust it. And it was it was sad. I mean, it's one of the saddest things you do because we know how harmful it is, but we're through that piece now. And we're going to try to make up for it next fiscal year, actually. So
I might just add to that. In the past 18 months, aside from, the virus and all the folks dying and such, that piece, the economic piece with that going on, was the most concerning thing to me personally. because I know how important the university is to this community, and to see that, you know, the reality of a potential financial struggle here from our biggest employer would have been just horrific.
Yeah, I think the community could be proud of our financial team and the folks that had input into our decisions. And again, some of them were very hurtful to people, to individuals and their families. We actually set up some philanthropy, automatic grants if you've been laid off, for instance, or had to be on an administrative furlough or something. We had grants that they could apply for, and all we needed to know is, have you been laid off, or have you? And once that was verified, you immediately got a check. So people poured money into that, so we could help those that were struggling. And you know, we tried to do our best, but it was a tough time. And across the country, right? The pandemic's not just a health issue; it was also, and still is, an economic issue. And I think, again, unless the pandemic takes a turn we're not expecting at this point, I think we're through that.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come back more with President Richard Myers. We're going to talk about his retirement and the Big 12 saga that's going on right now. We'll talk about that next here on In Focus.